Welcome to Christian Faith Center. We're a church that meets in multiple locations. If you'd like to know more about our church, just head to our website, experiencecfc.com. Thanks for joining us.
Come on, how many are excited about sending your kids to kids camp? How many like that video so much? You're going to kids camp. You're like 60, but you're like, I'm in. All right. I'm so thankful for those that serve our children and our teenagers, and so excited for our new youth pastor, Pastor B. Rich. And he was the one with the extra big flamingo in there. It was, but just excited about what God's doing in our student ministries and our kids' ministries. And it's going to be a great summer for the families of our church. And so, by the way, we're going to have a great Sunday next weekend as we celebrate Mother's Day. Come on, moms. Come on, buddy, put your hands together for the moms. If you haven't already started buying Mother's Day gifts, men, this is your cue. You're welcome. All right, just trying to be a blessing. 1 Kings chapter 19, if you'd turn there with me, we've been in a series called Mountains and Valleys, and we've been talking about the journey of mental health. And if you've missed one or many of these messages, I would encourage you, jump on our YouTube, go back and watch them, or jump on our website. You can find everything both on YouTube and our website. But I would encourage you to take these in. We've been looking at the life of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets to ever live, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, and really his journey. We've been doing really a character study on the life of Elijah, but we've really been exploring what the Bible has to say about the journey we are all on in our mental health. Because the reality is we're all in a journey, right? We are. And we'll experience mountaintops and we'll experience valley lows. Both are a normal part of the human experience that we will have. And so we need to understand what the Bible says about mental health, how to engage in a different way, how to engage what the Bible says to find peace, and really to go to war with the emotions that want to derail our life. How many know depression, anxiety, negativity? There's so many things that want to derail us from the things God has. And the Bible is not silent on this journey. And so we're going to conclude our series today. I want to read with you from Kings 19, starting in verse 11. And I want to talk about a very important subject today that I believe has the potential to shift things for you as you move forward in life with Jesus. I want to talk to you today about purpose, about purpose. Let's start together in verse 11. You can click there with me, open up your Bibles, or we'll put it on the screens for you. But starting in 1 Kings 19, verse 11, the Bible says this, and we pick up the scene with Elijah in a pretty low place. He's praying that God would kill him. He's praying suicidal thoughts. He doesn't want to live anymore. He's super discouraged. He feels all alone. And he's sitting in a cave, and God begins to appear to him. And so verse 11, God says this, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Now listen to this. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. I want to pause here. Isn't it amazing that Elijah had trained himself to hear the voice of God even amidst the storms of life? Yeah. Many times the storms of life will try to be louder than the voice of God. But I'm telling you, you can hear God's voice. Jesus said, "My sheep, they know my voice, and they won't follow any other." And I love that Elijah heard the voice of God in the midst of the chaos. And the voice asked him, and I want you to catch this today. It's very important. And I want to maybe focus on a unique word here, but I want you to see what God asked him. This is the question that God addresses Elijah with in the cave, running, depressed, even suicidal. And here's what God says. "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elisha? And he replied again, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars and killed one of your prophets, or killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Now, of all the things God could have addressed, all the things that he said in this, which, by the way, none of the things that he said here were 100% right. Because how many know anxiety will lie to you? It's hard to trust even sometimes the thoughts that you think when you're in a super low and anxious place. But the Lord knows how to address us. He knows how to meet us in the low places, the dark valleys. Listen to what he says. He says, the Lord told him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram, and anoint Jehu, the grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. I want to pray with you today, and I want to invite the Holy Spirit just to prepare our hearts along this topic today. I want you to see how important the purpose of God is in your life. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we love you so much, and we thank you now for the Word of God. We thank you that you are speaking, that you are wanting to make your Word come alive and impact our hearts and our lives. So speak to us now, God. I pray every person in a dark valley would be lifted. God, every person disconnected from purpose would re-engage with it and would know deep down in their soul they were created for more. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. I want to define purpose for us because this is such a broad term that I actually think is used quite a bit in Christian circles, but I think it's important that we would understand what this means. It really means having an overall sense of direction in your life. It's a belief that your life and your efforts and your activities are valuable and important, that you're making a positive mark and an impact on the world around you. As a human, we have an innate need to feel like our life matters. And as a follower of Jesus, we know that this comes from doing what God has called and created us to do. How many know that God has not created us on accident? We are created on purpose. We are created for a purpose. And we are called to make a difference with Jesus and for the kingdom of God. Now, what I want to highlight is that I love that God brought purpose into the equation for Elijah. God could have addressed all kinds of things in here. God could have confronted his belief that he was the only one left. He could have confronted some of the lies that Elijah obviously had believed. He could have addressed all kinds of things. And what I love in here is the first thing God says to Elijah is not, you're wrong. It's not, hey, why are you here? You've strayed away from your purpose and your calling. You shouldn't even be here. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? He bypasses all of the emotion, the feelings, the hurt, all of the pain that Elijah is experiencing in the moment, and he goes down to the one thing that Elijah can actually control, and it's not his emotions, it's his actions. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? This is an important question, because God could have punished him. God could have brought correction, but the reality is it's not punishment or correction that would have helped his condition. God brought the one thing that was necessary for Elijah to break out of this dark place he was in. God reintroduced calling and purpose to Elijah's life. He gave Elisha something to do to move forward from the place he's in. And my friends, I want you to see that when you're broken, when you're hurting, when your life gets off track, God knows how to restore you to where you're supposed to be. How many are thankful that our God is a gentle God, he's a wise God, he's a loving God that knows how to meet you in the low place? When you're low, God's heart is not to beat you down. God wants to lift you up. God wants to pick you up. He wants to breathe upon your life. He wants to see you rise out of that place of discouragement and darkness and step back into a place of destiny. If you are low today, if you're discouraged today, if you're anxious today, if you feel like you're down to the last drop, I want you to know we do not serve a God that wants to beat you up in that place. He wants to lift you up out of that place and give you a hope and a purpose to walk out of the darkness and into God's light. If you believe it, you better shout amen. Amen. This is our God. He knows how to meet us where we are. And I love this because this is the question he addresses Elijah with. What are you doing here, Elijah? Man, I need you to get this today. Because Elijah had stepped out of his purpose. He had stepped out of that position and calling of being God's prophet. And he was now in a place of anxiety, of depression, and even rumination. He was focused only on what was wrong, what happened, what they did to him, how they threatened him, how he's feeling about it. And he's so locked in on his past, on his pain, and on his problems that he sent himself into a deep spiral to the point he doesn't even want to be alive anymore. And the Lord comes not to reinforce his focus on the past, the pain, or the problems, but God comes to give him a new direction, and that is to focus once again on his purpose for being. And I want to give you a great truth that I believe will help you if you're going through a dark season in your life. And I want you to write this down because it could help you even in a future time. But in distress, our focus should be more on what we are doing than how we are doing. I want you to write that down. In times of distress, our focus should be more on what we are doing than how we are doing. Listen, one of those focuses is internal and the other is external. One focus is centered on problems, and the other is centered on solutions. Now, I'm not saying that acknowledgement or discovery are not important. If you're dealing with things in your life, there's a season where you must acknowledge and discover what's going on and how to and what you're feeling and where that impact is coming from. But can I tell you, you can't stay there. Once you realize depression is your battle, once you realize anxiety has become your enemy, your life cannot remain focused on depression alone. Your depression is a symptom. It is not your identity. Your anxiety is a symptom. It is not who you are. You are not anxious. You are experiencing anxiety. You are first a child of Almighty God, called according to the purpose of God, set apart for the work of God. Your identity is not, hi, I'm Jordan and I'm depressed. No, I may experience depression, but that is not my identity. It does not define me. It might be my moment, but it is not my forever. I'm called according to the purpose of God. I'm set apart for his work in the earth. I have a calling upon my life, and my emotions will not define my future in Jesus' name. You've got to get that deep in your spirit, that your focus cannot just be, we have a whole generation of people whose focus is just on how they're feeling. Well, I'm really anxious. Well, I'm really hurting today. Well, they did this to me today. Well, it makes me feel this way. More than any other generation that's ever lived, we are focused on our feelings. And more than any other generation that has ever existed on the planet, we are burning our lives out with our emotions and depression and mental illness. And part of it is we become so focused on how we feel, we forget that our feelings aren't the whole story. We forget that, first of all, our identity is found in Christ. First of all, the Bible speaks who we are, and our feelings tell us how we're doing along the way. Okay, we are first of all who God says we are. First of all, who what God's called us to be and do. And so in distress, yes, we need to identify. Yes, we need to, we may even need people that are trained in this area. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Come on, somebody. We'll have spiritual counselors. We can have business counselors. We can have vocational counselors. How many know some of us, we could really use the help of professional counselors that have studied and showed themselves to know something about our mental health. But can I tell you, if all that counselor ever does is tell you to ruminate on the problems in your life and never points you on a path out, you better find you a better counselor. Come on, somebody. Because the whole purpose should not be to just focus on what's wrong. We should discover what's the root, what's happening, but then we should go, what are we doing about it from here? How do we step out of this trap of anxious and depressed feelings and step into an action plan to get us out of where we are into where God's calling us to be? Listen, you can visit depression, but we shouldn't live there forever. You can visit anxiety, but we cannot live there forever. You're too called, too important, too destined to do great things for God for your emotions to become a prison that keeps you back from the purpose God's called you to live. In Jesus' name, you're breaking out. In Jesus' name, he's lifting you up. God is asking you the same question. What are you doing? Because we need to step into action that would lead us out. Matter of fact, I want to revisit something I shared with us in our first message in this series. Because I read this great study, and it was actually an investigative journalist who interviewed all of the leading experts, or I should say many of the leading experts around the world on mental health, specifically focusing on anxiety and depression. And he surmised all of their findings and research and put them into something that I thought was very interesting. He actually stated this. He said, what many of the mental health experts across the world are finding is that, first of all, many of these symptoms we're dealing with, they are a symptom, not the sickness. What's broken is actually something else, and it's causing the mental health struggles that we're dealing with. So we can't just treat the mental health. We have to go down to the actual sickness. And he actually defines these as what he calls disconnects. Things that have left our life that are necessary for health and stability. And when these things are broken away from us or happen to us, it causes some of the mental health issues that we're dealing with today, specifically anxiety and depression. And these disconnects, I want to read some of these to you, because these are the disconnections that he found that in all of this research, they find all these things coming back to the surface. Now, what I love is all of these are also addressed in the scripture. How many know science is continually reinforcing God's word? Look at these disconnects. One is a disconnection from meaningful relationships. When these disappear from our life, we're more likely to exhibit mental health stresses and strains. That's why we spent a whole week last Sunday talking about the importance of relationships. Isolation can wage war on your mental health. Listen, disconnection from personal values with intrinsic rewards. Disconnection caused by trauma in our childhood. Disconnection from self-worth and self-respect. Imagine that. When we stop valuing ourselves and respecting ourselves, our mental health suffers. Who would have ever thought? Maybe that's why God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. It is unbiblical to not love yourself as you love the world. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Self-worth, self-respect. You need to love you. The law of love states you actually cannot love the world more than you love you. Disconnection, not just from self-worth and self-respect, but a disconnection from the natural world. We're outside less than any other generation that's ever lived. Just being in this beautiful creation God's given us, when we disconnect from that, from the sunshine, from the world around us, it impacts our mental health. Disconnection from hope for a better future. When we stop believing that our future can be greater than our past, our mental health suffers. How many are thankful that God's word assures us that greater is our future than our past? That our past does not put a limit on our future, that God has a hope and a future for every one of us. A disconnection in the body from the brain due to genetics, and a disconnection in the body and the brain due to trauma. But I want you to see, you know what the number one cause they found in all of this was? the number one cause or disconnection was this: a disconnection from meaningful, purposeful work. I want to make a bold statement, and I want you to write this down. It's a primary thought I want to get in your spirit today. We need to do more than make a living. We need to make a difference. You are called to do more than make a living. You are called to make a difference. And we have a need intrinsically in us to do more than just make a living, to pay the bills, to make the grades, to punch the clock, but to make a difference in life. One of the latest pieces of research I read this last week as I was studying this out, I actually found that this same study was later quoted and affirmed by the American Psychological Association in some of their work on the next generation. And they did a study of young adults under the age of 30. And one of the most frightening things that they found in all of this, there's not a ton of actual hope actually on the in the mental health arena. I feel like more than ever, we need to know what God's word says about our mental health. But listen to this. 58% of young adults reported that they lacked meaningful or meaning and purpose in their life. That's 3 out of 5 people under the age of 30 stated they lacked any meaning or purpose for their life. How many know if you believe that your life doesn't have meaning, if you believe your life doesn't have purpose, my goodness, that'll impact so much more than just your mental health. It'll impact how you live and breathe, every action that you take. We need to know that our life has great meaning. And if we stop believing that there's meaning and purpose in our life, man, this is going to impact us in a negative way. Another study I read showed that one of the greatest causes of both depression and anxiety, it was stemming from a lack of perceived and felt purpose for their lives. People feel like their life doesn't matter. I even read a study that went all the way into grade school, and they found that when they gave children goals in the classroom so that when they hit that goal, it made a positive difference to the world around them, they found that behavior, mental health issues, attitudes, anxiety, all kinds of focus problems started to go away when the children believed that even the things they were doing in their classroom actually was leading to something bigger that made a difference to the world around them. My friends, we need to understand we were never wired to just grind the clock. We were never wired to just wake up and do the same stuff without purpose and go to bed and live healthy lives. See, a lack of purpose is a major problem, and our relationship with Jesus is the answer to that problem. Is it any wonder that many of the most popular scriptures in the Bible are tied to God's promises of purpose for our life? Matter of fact, let me read you some of those. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The prophet speaks to the people of God in the worst valley in their nation's history, by the way. Dominated by the nation of Babylon, carried away into captivity. They saw no future for themselves. And what does God say? He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." How many are thankful that even if you are in the worst place you've ever been in your entire life, that circumstance does not dictate the future that God has for your life? In the darkest valley, there's still a great future in front of you. If you believe that, shout amen. I love Proverbs 19:21. It says, "You can make many plans, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail in your life." Romans 8:28, maybe one of the most popular passages of scripture in the Bible. It says, "For we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God," now listen, "and are called according to his purpose for them." Amen. See, when you get saved, my friends, you get more than just salvation. You get more than just forgiveness of sin. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't just have your sin forgiven, you actually get added into the very family of God. You get added into the purpose of God for the world. Bible says before you were even born, God had a purpose for your life. You were not created on accident. You were created on purpose and for a purpose. And until we make Jesus Lord of our life, we don't discover the purpose that we were born to walk in. But when we make Jesus Lord and we come into the family of God, God makes sure that we begin to walk not just aimlessly, but we begin to walk in the purpose of God for our life. We get to fulfill the very thing that God created us to do in the earth. See, God's purpose can be embraced or it can be rejected. Matter of fact, let me show you a couple verses. Luke 7:30 talks about the Pharisees, and it says, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law, these were the leading religious people during the time of Jesus, it said they rejected God's purpose for them. They rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Now, this is talking about John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, who was calling the nation to repentance to prepare the way of the Lord for King Jesus to come. They rejected John's message, refused to repent, and in doing so, they rejected the purpose of God for their life. Isn't it funny that the Pharisees of all people, who knew the scripture, maybe better than anyone else in the land, they should have been able to spot Jesus and enter into God's purpose in the earth. But they rejected God's purpose. They rejected God's salvation in their life. And in doing so, rejected the very purpose for their lives. They rejected it. We don't want to reject God's purpose. We want to embrace God's work in our life. We want to embrace God's salvation, embrace God's calling, embrace the things that God's bringing to us. I love Acts 13:36 because it talks about King David and it gives us a different picture. Listen to this. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and he was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. See, King David served God's purpose in his generation. I love that. Matter of fact, man, if that was written on my tombstone, I could go to heaven happy. Come on, somebody. All the other accolades, all the other things, that's great. But did I serve the purpose that God put me here to accomplish? Did I serve the purpose of God in my generation? When you surrender to Jesus, you don't just get salvation, you are invited into the purpose of God for your life. One of the things I'm seeing in this generation, and I want to say generation by every person that's alive today, I'm not just talking about the youngest among us. What I'm seeing in this generation is that there is a desire to do more than just exist. There's something deep down inside of us that I believe is from the Lord himself. There's this desire to make a lasting impact, to leave a legacy, to make a difference, to serve the will of God. And it's magnifying with every generation. It's getting louder and louder and louder. People my age want to make a difference. My children, there's something in them. They're not even wondering if they're supposed to make a difference. They're just saying, I'm going to change the world. I want to do something that impacts. And can I tell you, I do not believe it's pride. I believe at the root of it, God has placed something in this generation that is meant to shake the nations. I believe he's raising up a generation today that would believe, yes, we can carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. Yes, we can build a church that will not and cannot be shaken by Babylon and the governments of our age. Yes, we will carry this message. And yes, we will prepare the earth for the coming of Jesus Christ in our generation. I believe it with all my heart. But a big part of that is we cannot and should not settle for a life that lacks purpose. If you know Jesus, you are not just forgiven, you are called according to the purpose of God. You're called, you're chosen, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people. The Bible says all of this about you. You're not a cog in a wheel. You're not a name on a spreadsheet. You're not a punch on a time clock. You are God's chosen generation to do something great for him. I'm thankful that Jesus gives my life purpose. See, before Jesus, I only served my own desires. And without Jesus, even our purpose and our desire that we go after, it's always self-centered. I want to do this for me and my name and for my gain and my benefit. But see, when you make Jesus Lord of your life, he gives you a purpose bigger than yourself. You get to serve a global and eternal purpose. I'm so thankful that Jesus gave my life purpose. I'm so thankful that Jesus gives your life purpose. See, you're not just here to pay the bills. You're here to praise him. You're here to worship him. You're here to serve him. You're here to partner with God. You're here to co-labor with the Holy Spirit in your family, in your community, and in the state of Idaho. You are here to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Your life has purpose beyond yourself. And you know, Jesus said this. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, the only thing Jesus ever said he would build was his church. That's it. He didn't say he'd build you. He didn't say he'd build your thing. He didn't say he'd build your this. What he said is, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, here's what I found. If you will be involved in God's purpose, then he will favor your efforts. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. If you build God's house, God will favor your house. If you'll build God's kingdom, God will favor your business. If you will build God's family, God's light will shine on your family. If you will seek first the purpose of God for your life, then God himself will add all other things to you. Lord, if you believe that, shout amen. We want to build God's kingdom. Jesus taught us to pray this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to partner with God's purpose for my life. And I found if you will build God's house, he will build your life. If you will seek first the kingdom, then God will add all other things to you. If you will pray heaven to earth and serve God's purpose, he will open the windows of heaven over your life and pour you out a blessing. Why? Because your life has become a river. Your life has become a conduit. And God will never let a giver go under. God will never let a builder lack the materials to build. God will never let one who strengthens others lack strength in their own life. If you will serve God, you will find yourself greatly helped by heaven. If you believe that, shout amen today. I want to encourage you in this. This is why, with all of our heart, we invite people to join our dream teams at CFC. This is why I don't like the word volunteer. You can volunteer at Rake Up Nampa. Yeah. But we're more than a volunteer in the local church.
That's right.
The Bible never uses that word. It calls you a family member.
Yeah.
It calls you a living stone. It calls you a member of the body of Christ. And each part has a unique input that the body needs. We might not even know all the what the purpose is of all the things in this body God's given us, but we know he's put every one of them there with a purpose. The same is in the body of Christ. No one can do what God's called you to do like you. Listen, you might make a living all week long. Can I tell you, one of the things Jesus offers you through the local church is to make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, last year alone, we saw 3,000 people come to know Jesus Christ in a way that saved them, washed them, and sealed their eternity in heaven. We saw over 300 people get baptized in water last year. We're seeing God do amazing things. We saw about $750,000 be sent from our locations and extensions to expand the kingdom of God and make a difference around the world. This year, we're believing for $850,000. Why? Because I want our money to have purpose. Well, does my job matter? It does if you take the fruit of that job and build the kingdom with it. Does my life, it does if you're serving something that's bigger than you, that's tied to God's vision. When we build the kingdom of God, our life has eternal purpose. Now listen, it's not only the local church. Maybe you serve some kind of a ministry or paraministry or whatever that's making a difference around the world. But can I tell you, the local church is the starting point and the foundation of everything God is building in the earth. The local church is the center point of God's expression around the world. Matter of fact, if you'll scan this QR code, it'll take you to a form and you can fill out some information and get involved in a team. If you want your life to make a difference, why not partner with what God is building right here in the city that you live in? Why not be a part of what God is doing? You can also stop by guest services and we've got information, or just sign up for First Step. And we want to invite you not just into membership, come on, but into partnership as we serve the purpose of God for our generation. I want to be a part of what God is building. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to serve the purpose of God for my generation. And that can begin by serving the house that God has planted you in. Start investing in the thing God said he would build. Now, I want to end today with this thought. I want to end today with this thought. Because I think a lot of us are here and we're looking for purpose, but also a lot of us are here and we're struggling. We're struggling with, we're putting our hands on things that are not purpose, but they are the pain we're dealing with. You're struggling because you are anxious, you are depressed, you are dealing with some of these mental health challenges. And maybe the reason why is because you've put your hands around the problem instead of purpose. And I want you to see something important, because there's something deep down in us that says, listen, I need justice. I need protection. I need vindication. And I want you to know that God's not telling Elijah to ignore what happened to him and just go get busy for the kingdom. The Father's not like, Elijah, suck it up, dude. Go do what I want you to do. But God knows that Elijah can't afford to stay focused on his problems. He needs to step into purpose. But I want you to see this. I want you to see 1 Kings 19:15-18. Go back the way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. Listen, when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. Remember, it was the king and queen of Israel that hurt Elijah, went to war with Elijah, the whole reason he thought he was there to begin with. And that's not all. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from the town of Abel, Mahola, to replace you as my prophet. Now, I want you to see this, because verse 17 and 18 are very important, and I need you to get this in your spirit today. Because some of you lack purpose because things have happened to you that you're trying to find justice. And it's because you haven't seen things come to a close, you feel like you can't leave the situation, the feelings, and the emotion. You're trying to make things right. You're trying to get even. You're trying to find closure. And because your hands are on your pain and your past, you can't actually embrace the purpose that's right there in front of you. And I want you to see that God did not look over the things that were done to Elijah. He did not look over the pain that Elijah experienced. He didn't look over the betrayal and the things that happened. As a matter of fact, God provides divine vindication and protection inside of your purpose. If you will serve the Lord, listen to what Elijah was told by the Lord. Anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. It was King Ahab and Queen Jezebel that hurt him and had threatened him and were threatening his life. Look what God says. God says, go do what I've called you to do. And by the way, part of that is going to be to anoint a different king. If Jehu is in, that means Ahab is out. Guess who killed Queen Jezebel? That evil, manipulative woman that was working against the purpose of God and trying to kill the prophet of God, King Jehu. Elisha didn't need to have his hands around the problem, but he did need to trust that as I serve God's purpose, God was going to make all things right. And I love this because God took care of his problems. Here's what I've found in my walk with God. If I go get justice, if I get even, God will let it stand as is. He'll let my natural intervention be justice enough. But if I'll take my hands off of it and I'll trust the Lord that ultimately He is the just God, I found that God will take care of those that did evil against me in a way better way than I would have dealt with it should I have put my hands on it. God is a just God. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And here's what I want you to hear. God will make sure people come to justice. But if you have to have your hands wrapped around it, it will dominate your life. You were not made to get even. You were made to serve God. You were made to live the purpose of God for your life. You were made to trust that He will. Here's what I found. The temptation is to get out of God's purpose when you get hurt and when things are dark. But can I tell you, the best and safest place to be is right in the will of God for your life. God has protected me. God will protect you. And if you will keep a pure heart and forgive and release and just serve the Lord and serve your purpose. I know they did that, but God's called me to this and this hurts, but this is what God's called me to do or be. I found that like King David, God will set a table for you right in the presence of your enemies. God will vindicate your life. God will make sure the truth comes out, but you have a choice. You can wrap your hands around it, or you can let God deal with it. And I choose to love people to life. I choose to release those who have hurt me and focus on the purpose of God for my life. I'll leave justice in the hands of the only righteous judge. And I'll move forward with serving God. Yes, they hurt you. Forgive them. Serve God's purpose. God will bring justice to your life. You've got to trust that. He'll set a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I want to land with this thought. God provides justice inside of His purpose. You're called to love people to life. You're called to serve the Lord. God will be just. Can I say that again? God will be just. But it'll hurt your heart and your mental health to be fighting battles that are God's to fight. Release them. Like Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are most like God when we forgive, when we release, when we heal, and when we grab a hold of God's purpose, and we let the ultimate judge judge. God will fight for you. He will fight on your behalf. Your enemies will see a day of justice. And it's better that it comes through His hands than yours. Amen? Would you stand to your feet all across the room? I just want to pray for you today. Our prayer teams are going to come forward. I really believe there are people here today. And you need someone to partner with you. You've tried to let go of the things you're struggling with many times. And it's been hard for you. I believe that today's a day of breakthrough for you. That God's going to help you release things to Him that are impacting even your mental health. Anxiety's not your portion anymore. Depression's not your portion anymore. God wants to lift you, to heal you, for you to experience abundant life. Would you just lift your hands to heaven all across the room? And our worship team's going to begin to lead us. And I just want to pray a prayer of blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that we are called according to Your purpose, that every one of our lives matter. God, I pray now in the name of Jesus that You would help us to serve You and leave justice to heaven, to lay our hurts and our burdens down, and to grab a hold of the purpose of God for our life. I pray we would get off the bench. I pray we would get on the mission field. I pray we would serve the purpose of God. I pray we would begin building the church and let You judge and let You sort out the other things. God, I pray the mind of Christ over Your people. I pray the peace of God over every heart and every life. And as we serve You, may You make all things right. May You fight our battles, and may the peace of God that surpasses understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. As we leave here, may we leave here in peace, knowing that You're a mighty God that loves us, has called us, and is fighting our battles for us. We declare it in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody said amen.